Hello, yes, good morning everyone. Who's excited about being here at 9 a.m. on a beautiful Tuesday morning? I love seeing you guys all energized, and myself as well. So I'm João Boto, I'm a program manager for Surface. I'm a program manager specifically for the enterprise market. So everything that is commercial or that is made for someone that buys more than one Surface device at the time, it comes from my team. And this guy here, this gentleman, is Carlo Berti, and he's a design validation engineer. So we call it DVE. He's essentially the lead tester for our team. So he tests and he makes sure that everything that is enterprise tools, like things like full disk encryption, BitLocker, McAfee, deployment tools, MDT, SCCM, like all of those things work. That's what Carl does.
Are you saying it's my fault? Is that what you're saying?
Right.
Okay.
He's also the guy that keeps me honest, right? I tell you about how things are supposed to work, and Carl, he comes behind my back and he says, well, that's not actually how it works.
This is true.
That's his job. How many of you guys have been to our theater sessions before? Quite a few. Okay. We'll cover some of those topics. We'll cover Windows updates, how we make Surface better with the updates. We'll also cover Surface Enterprise Management Mode. We'll do it in a lot more depth and with a lot more demos in this session than we've done it in the theater sessions. So our main goal here is to make you guys believe our story. That is, we've been putting a lot of effort into making sure that Surface is enterprise ready, that it's a great device for you guys to have in a commercial environment, to have it in your organizations. And I hope to convey that. I hope that you guys get out of this session with the idea of, yeah, these guys have made a lot of work, and this device is really something that is easy to adopt. It's a device that we've done, like Surface Pro 4, Surface Pro 3, those are all devices that we've done looking into the future. Like whenever we've created one of these devices, we've put the latest and greatest technology that we could find. Like, that's a given. For Surface, we always grab the latest and greatest technology and we put it in there. Of course, it comes with some challenges. Who here wanted to run Windows 8 on Surface Pro 4? Yeah, I see some hands. Sorry about those limitations. To be completely honest, that was mostly a limitation that we had on our hard disks. Like, we use some SSDs that are not really SATA drives, they're NVMe. Until now, those drives were only found on servers. We didn't find those on traditional laptop computers. Those drives were way too fast for that, and they would heat up way too much. But Windows 10 brought support for those kinds of drives into this form factor, into laptops, into tablets, and we got those drives directly into our devices. That comes at a cost, right? That comes at a cost of, you need to run the latest operating system, otherwise those drives are just not supported. Like, your device is not going to perform the way it should, or it's going to heat up way too much. So there are indeed some limitations. But we do want to bring you the latest and greatest, like the top performance. We want to bring you something that you won't find on other computers. We wanted to bring you a delightful form factor and at the same time some unmatchable performance and some unmatchable capabilities over here. So let's talk a little bit about this. My agenda for today is quite simple. First, I'm going to give you some quick imaging tips. Like, I've done this 1,000 times. We've done this last year at Ignite. Who else was here last year at Ignite? Well, not here in Chicago, but still at Ignite. I can see half of the room. That's pretty good. So I'll cover some quick imaging tips. Like, what has changed? What should you note about imaging these devices? Then I'm going to talk about device updates. So not really talking about roadmap. I wish I could. I cannot. Like, someone from PR would kill me if I would do that. But I'm going to talk about how you keep your devices up to date and how you get a new life to your Surface devices by installing the updates that we give you, that we provide you. Some of you have already seen a little bit of this in our theater session, but I'm going to talk about it anyway. Then we're going to focus most of our time in Surface UEFI. We've created a brand new UEFI, and I'm pretty convinced that you guys are gonna like it. And then what that UEFI enables you. So the UEFI in itself is pretty exciting to us technology geeks. Like, back in the Surface team, like, we love this. We love to promote what we've done with the UEFI. But the greatest thing is Surface Enterprise Management Mode and what we have enabled through this UEFI. And this is what where you will see most of the demos. You'll see a lot of demos about Surface Enterprise Management Mode and what we give you with this and how to manage your device and how to lock it down. Last but not least, I'll leave you plenty of time for Q&A. That's my goal. I know that you guys will probably have a lot of questions, and we're here to answer them. As far as we can go, if we don't get into roadmap, again, that's a big no-no from the PR guys there in the back. But we can answer anything that you have about enterprise capabilities and how to easily adopt these devices in your organizations. Good? Yeah. Let's go. So we talked about the objectives, so let's go directly to the imaging tips. One of the very first things that I wanted to do is... we need to talk about USB media for deployments. The very first thing is, a lot of people have been asking us, how come I cannot just put my image in a flash drive and deploy my device from this USB stick? I know it's a typical scenario for a lot of you guys. Most people have both USB sticks and network connections, pixie booting, getting the image over the network, but also these USB drives. Something that we didn't have until now was capabilities for deploying split WIMs. So there was clearly a problem. UEFI has a limitation that it doesn't support NTFS. So NTFS and UEFI, they just don't combine. What you have is then you have to deploy your device using FAT32. So you have to format your flash drive as FAT32. In the past, we had a pretty neat workaround that was, if you create an MDT deployment share, you put pretty much everything except for the big image, for the WIM, you would put everything in a FAT32 partition, and then you would create a separate partition in your flash drive that was specifically to store that WIM. And that second partition, it could be NTFS, just not the first one. You couldn't boot from someone from some partition that was NTFS. And you still can't. But now what you have is you don't have to keep that image in a separate partition. And why is that? Because both Configuration Manager and now MDT, and this is quite new for MDT, both of them now support split WIMs. So that means that if your Windows image is larger than 4 gigabytes in size, MDT or Configuration Manager will split it into multiple smaller images that can fit in your FAT32 partition. So you don't need to go with workarounds, you don't need to go with our old trick of using a Windows to Go stick that could, where you could create multiple partitions in, and that you could have a FAT32 partition for booting and an NTFS partition for keeping the image. That's no longer necessary. Configuration Manager has been able to do this for a while, But MDT now can do this as well. And this is something that we're quite excited about because it removes a barrier for all of you guys. It makes it so much easier to deploy because you just go on MDT, you right-click media, and you say create media. And you just copy that to a flash drive. You don't need to go and work around and try to find different solutions. So that's something that I'm proud to put here on a slide. Even though it's not an innovation from our team, it's something that makes deploying Surface so much easier. Then, let's go to the next step. And, this is going way too fast. There you go. There we go. We're back. So another one is reusing Ethernet adapters. Who has had a problem trying to deploy multiple surfaces with an Ethernet adapter? Wow, so many people. It was quite challenging, wasn't it? I can tell you that before I joined the Surface team, I was already working on this. So I put up a blog post trying to work around this problem. So the blog post was essentially a little PowerShell script that would just, whenever you were deploying your device, it would reach a point where it would say, please disconnect the Ethernet adapter and click here, and then it would detect the MAC address of the Wi-Fi adapter so that it would target that in SCCM. So Config Manager, it detects your device by MAC address first and the SMBIOS GUI. So it grabs those two data points and it says, well, if this MAC address is already known, I already know this device. I don't want to accidentally deploy a new image to this device that I've already deployed. So it was trying to protect us from ourselves. And while trying to protect us from ourselves, it got us into quite a bit of trouble. So no more workarounds. So Config Manager in the latest release, so right now it doesn't have numbers, right? You won't find this in System Center Configuration Manager 2012. You will find this in System Center Configuration Manager, which is just like Windows as a Service. It's always up to date. It's getting the latest versions for the server. And a few months ago, they've added this little box that I love so much. So this little box is in just the hierarchy settings of Configuration Manager. And what you can do is you can say, please ignore these MAC addresses. So you can put a list of MAC addresses of the network adapters, of the USB sticks, of the docking stations, of anything that you use to deploy those devices, and say, don't recognize a device by this MAC address. This is not valid for you. This is just something that we use in our lab to deploy. This is not something that we'll see in the wild that you'll have your devices connected to. And this is a big change, once again. It's something that we've been asking the Configuration Manager team for a while, and they finally provided us with this. So again, here's another example of something that we didn't do it ourselves. This wasn't done in the Surface team or by the Surface team. This was done by the Configuration Manager team, and this is a better together story. Right? This is how Surface is working with other organizations and other parts of Microsoft and outside of Microsoft to make products better. And Carl is a great example. Like, he has worked with a Configuration Manager team to test all of this, to validate all of this, to make sure that it's working as expected. But he's not limited, or his work is not limited to Microsoft and to Configuration Manager. Carl has worked with McAfee, even recently. Carl was setting up meetings with McAfee, trying to get the full disk encryption to its best state, to its best performance, to its best security, so that we could have the best possible experience on Surface devices. So this is what we're aiming for. And let me talk to you about how we aim for all of those things. And I'll go back here. There's some additional components that we have in Surface that were brought into Windows. So one of them is Connected Standby. Who here knows about Connected Standby? A handful of people. So Connected Standby is also known as Instant Go. I'll do an Ignite studio recording shortly after this session, so about 30 minutes after this. If you guys join us in the main hall here in Hall C, you'll see this. But the main thing about Connected Standby is that you get Instant Go. Who here has noticed that when you press the power button of Surface, it just clicks in? You get immediate response. Who here has noticed that? Yeah? That's pretty cool. So the main goal of this is that we brought the same technology that you usually see on phones. Like, you see a phone, and whenever you grab your phone, you don't expect it to sync emails before it can show you how many unread emails you have. You just know that it's going to show up. It's going to tell you, like, you press the power button, and it tells you, well, you have 20 unread emails, or like 100 if you stayed here long enough. So that's the main thing. It's Instant Go, and plus, it was connected. It was syncing in the background. For us IT pros, something really, really cool that Connected Standby can do is, for instance, if you push software updates, if you push Windows updates, you go on WSUS or you go on SCCM and you say approve, and you say ship those updates all to my Surface devices. You know what? Surface devices will get those updates while it's sleeping. While the device is in Connected Standby, it will get those updates. While it's a downtime, while the users are not using those devices, they will get those Windows updates. They will also get those emails. Like, if you have the email client, the native Windows 10 email client configured with your accounts, you will get that email. You will see how many unread emails you have as soon as you press the power button. You don't have to wait. You don't have to go on Outlook and wait it for it to connect to your Exchange email server or to your Office 365. It just connects, it just syncs everything. It's pretty cool. So one thing that we've done, though, is we've said, okay, this Connected Standby is pretty cool, but it still consumes a little bit of battery, right? When you have your device in sleep mode, you still need to keep memory alive. And in this case, if you're doing Connected Standby, it's not only the memory, you need to keep the network connection alive. Not always, but at momentary bursts, you need to turn on Wi-Fi to see if there's anything worth receiving. So this uses about, I would say, as a rule of thumb, you can think of it as 1% of battery per hour. So that's very little, but still, it's something, especially if you have an executive at your company, or if you guys are going out for the weekend and you close the device, you close your Surface on Friday night, and then you come back on Monday morning and 50% of your battery is gone, right? An entire weekend in sleep, that must consume some battery. So what we've done is, by default, we have a hibernation timeout. In our image, whenever you buy a Surface from the store, it has a hibernation timeout. And that hibernation timeout, what it does is it says that if you haven't used your Surface for 2 hours, if it has been in sleep for 2 hours, what we do is we turn on hibernation. And hibernation doesn't consume any power. So hibernation, we just copy all the contents of memory, we store them on disk, and here you go. So you have your device consuming 0 watts, it's not consuming any power, and still you get all of your data. It's a little bit slower to resume than resuming from sleep, but you save a lot of battery. So you can do any value for hibernation, and you can do it through all of your typical configurations. So let me show you this real quick over here. So if you go to your power options, and inside of the power options, you have on your power plan, what you'll see here is that you have a setting for sleep, and there you have hibernate after. You'll see that the default on battery is 120 minutes. this is by design. This is what we want to have. This is the experience that we want people to have. We think of it as the best of both worlds. So you get instant resume, you have that connected standby that we were talking about, and at the same time, you get hibernation. So you get 0 watts of power usage once you've been in CS and connected standby for 2 hours. Pretty cool. And you can configure this obviously through group policy. So you can go through your GP edits. In this case, I'm doing local group policies, but of course, it's the same thing if you go to your own group policies and run this. So let me go to the system, and here I should have, Windows components. We should have power.
It was under system.
It was under system. Say, see, that's what I told you that Carl was for.
This is all for.
He is here to correct me whenever
whenever
I do something wrong. So here we go to system, and then we go to power management. And within power management, you have a lot of options here. What you want is the sleep settings. And in sleep settings, you have something that says that you want to allow network to go into hibernation. So here you go. Specify the system hibernate timeouts on battery. So you can just configure this, and you can configure it to any value that seems fit to you. As a rule of thumb, like I said, you should think of it as whenever your Surface is in sleep, it will consume about 1% of battery per hour. It may be a little bit more, it may be a little bit less, depending on what you're doing. If you're pushing a lot of updates and your device is in sleep but still getting all of those updates, or if it's during the workday and people are getting lots of emails, that's probably going to consume a little bit more. If it's during the night and your device is doing next to nothing, it's going to consume a little bit less. So as a rule of thumb, think of it as 1%. So here you go to hibernation settings and you can configure it to any value that seems fit to you. We initially have 4 hours as our default timeout to go into hibernation. When we launched Surface Pro 3, we have it set to go into hibernation after 4 hours. With Surface Pro 2, Pro 4, we came to the conclusion that actually 2 hours was more than enough. So if you haven't used your Surface Pro 4 for more than 2 hours, you're probably at the stage where you're at the happy hour, you're at the bar, you're at home, doing something more fun than using your device. So again, do it to set this to whatever suits your users and whatever you think is fit for that situation. So this was the quick demo for that one. Something else that I want to tell you is that all of the best practices that we've been talking about, we have a really nifty tool that is called the Surface Deployment Accelerator. So if you go to the Tools for IT, the Surface Tools for IT website, and you can get there very, very easily by doing aka.ms/toolsforit. So if you go to that site, you will get the Surface Deployment Accelerator as an option. And the Surface Deployment Accelerator, the whole goal of this thing is you can go to any server in your organization. You can have an empty server. You can have a virtual machine, right? And you can say, let's create the Surface Deployment Accelerator. It will connect to the internet. It will deploy, download MDT. It will download the ADK. It will download all of those different components. And it will also download the Surface drivers, the Surface firmware, everything, all the latest and greatest stuff. It will download all of that. The only thing that it will not download, and that's for licensing reasons, is a copy of Windows. So you'll have to provide your copy of Windows, but everything else is there. So it will go online, download all of that, create task sequences for you, and create those task sequences using all of our best practices. So setting hibernation, yes, it's there. Filtering drivers, making sure that we only install the drivers that were made for Surface inside of a Surface device, yes, it's there. installing the Surface application, the one that allows you to configure the buttons on your pen and do all of that. Yes, it's there. Like, all of the best practices for Surface are already pre-configured when you use the Surface Deployment Accelerator. And since it's based on MDT, you probably have seen 1,000 MDT sessions here at Ignite. Or if you haven't, you will probably see a few. The interesting thing is that MDT is ever expanding. Like, you can go there and you can add your own applications and you can configure and customize your own deployments to fit your needs. We just give you a really solid baseline. So it looks like our image, the image that we ship with our device, the image that was optimized for our device, and then you build upon it. And you can create all of your different customizations and you can configure this to your environment. We want to really, really make sure that this is a no-brainer, that deploying a Surface in your organization is a no-brainer. And the Surface Deployment Accelerator is a good step in that direction, we think. So let's talk a little bit about updates. We have a really big team that has a name that is not fancy at all. They're called PLE, Post-Launch Engineering. They're our colleagues. We actually work with them side by side. We work with PLE day in and day out. So they have essentially three goals. One of them is to develop and test bug fixes. Like, if you've worked on for an ISV, if you've worked for an organization that needs to put out updates, that's the basics. Developing and testing and deploying and shipping bug fixes, that's the basics. It's sustained engineering. But these guys are not called sustained engineering for a reason. Because they don't do only sustained engineering. This is a small portion of their work. They develop and test reliability and performance improvements. So this is one thing. They're constantly focused on trying to get your Surface better. And this is something that you'll see, like, if you go on a web browser and you type Surface update history, you get to pick which Surface device and you'll see when it was last updated. And you can see what was last updated. And the very, very interesting thing is that we ship our devices with a lot of microcontrollers inside. So you don't have a single microcontroller to be your processor. You don't only have your Intel Core i5 or Core i7 or M3. You don't just have that. You have that one. And then you have four microcontrollers, at least, that are in addition to that one. The main goal of those microcontrollers is that it provides additional functionality. It makes it an intelligent device. And we also have those inside of all of our accessories. If you think about our Surface keyboards, like the type cover that you're using, you look at the type cover, it has a microcontroller inside. So we can provide additional functionality. So at one point, we didn't have a functionality that you would flip back your keyboard, then the keyboard would be disabled. Then we added that functionality. At one point, we had a different angle at which the keyboard would be disabled. But we can configure this. We can ship an update to you if we think, if we get your feedback, that it's not working as you wish. And it's not only the keyboard. If you think about the docking station, the docking station that we've shipped, and we've had our fair share of problems, I must acknowledge that, with our Surface Pro 4 docking station. The good thing is that the hardware is solid, and we have microcontrollers inside, so we can ship an update. We can reprogram those microcontrollers on your desk. We can reprogram those microcontrollers to give you additional functionality, to give you additional monitor compatibility. You know that all monitors work differently, right? So, for instance, there are some monitors that I plug into my device and they turn on immediately. There are some monitors that detect any signal at all. So if I plug them into a docking station and there's no device attached, those monitors will still come up. And then I put a device on it and the monitors, well, they already turned on first when I connected them to the docking station, so they will not turn on again. What do? We have a microcontroller inside that can detect what model, what monitor it is, and it can kick it a few times if needed. So it can pretend that we disconnect and reconnect and do a lot of different things. So we're working through it. We're using those microcontrollers, we're using those smarts, we're teaching our hardware to do different things. And this is something that post-launch engineering does. Like, they always look for improvements in our devices. Their team is as big as the team that is developing the product. So the team that develops Surface Pro 4 is as big as the team that is now trying to give you new features, trying to give you more battery life, trying to give you more performance, trying to give you less noise, less fan, like, that is working on all of those optimizations and trying to give you a better experience. If you think about it, you look at Surface Pro 3, and I can quickly show you a screenshot of what it looks like. This is the Surface update history, that page that I was talking about. You probably can't read it from there, but we have three firmware updates that were released in July. There's some more that were released in August and September. The interesting thing is that if I read this to you, it says, Surface Pro UEFI improves system, sleep, and hibernation behavior when battery is low. So it gives you, it tries to give you more battery life by hibernating at a different time. You will see things such as Realtek high definition audio improves the audio quality. So did anyone have complaints about audio before, audio on Surface Pro 4? I didn't. I thought it was great. But still, the post-launch engineering team is giving you better audio. They're improving the experience. So you have a gigantic team. It's about 100 people that are working on giving you more and more features and giving you more benefits on the device that you already own.
Yeah, and I think it's worth noting, for example, we get questions from customers a lot. How long are you going to support that device? Am I going to buy it and then next year it's obsolete? If you look at the update history for Surface Pro, the original Surface Pro, which was released about 3 years ago, we have released updates for it this year. We released a UEFI update and a few other updates for the original Surface Pro from 3 years ago, and we will continue doing so.
And just trying to get a quick poll here, how many of you have had the original Surface Pro? Pretty good. About a third of this room. How many of you have had Surface Pro 3? Oh, good. Like, yeah. This is two-thirds of the room. See, this is what I mean. We have a device that has a smaller audience that was released 3 years ago, and we still put out updates for it. And updates, we're not talking about security updates. We're not talking about a vulnerability that was found somewhere. We're talking about improving your device. That's completely different. That's a game changer for us. Like, what we do is we try and we make your device better. We spend a lot of effort, we spend a lot of engineering hours making your device better. So going back a little bit, we talked about developing and testing reliability and performance improvements. Another thing is we test and release new features that are developed for in-market devices. So I can tell you about Surface 3, for instance. Surface 3 is over a year old, and just last month, we brought in new features. We gave you the ability, like, if you're at the factory or if you're a governmental organization and you absolutely need to disable your cameras, or you need to disable your SD card reader, or you need to disable your USB ports, we gave you that ability. We gave you not only the ability to do that from the UEFI menu, but we also gave you the ability to do that from a scripting environment remotely. And we think it's pretty cool. So we've taken a completely different approach. We'll talk about it a little bit more when we talk about UEFI. But the interesting thing about this is, in the past, if you wanted a device that didn't have a camera, because you work for a governmental organization, because you work for at the factory, because your devices have specific regulations where you cannot use your camera. The interesting thing about that is that In the past, you would order a device, a custom-made device, that would not have a camera inside. What we've done, since we have those microcontrollers, since we have that firmware, is we can cut the bus. And since we cut the bus, it's as if the camera is there, but there's no wires connected. Or, well, the wires are there, but we cut the connection to those wires. So what you get out of this is it's exactly the same thing as if there wasn't a camera connected, as if there's no physical camera inside of your device. And you can configure all of that through UEFI, and you can configure that locally, and you can configure that remotely as well. I'll show you how to do this for Pro 4. We'll talk about the new UEFI and the configuration. Sorry, still having some struggle advancing the slides here. I'll blame it on the battery here. So your device keeps getting better. We have a huge investment. We are fully invested into getting your devices better day after day. So the engineering effort is making your device faster, it's increasing your battery life, it's increasing peripheral compatibility. That's another thing that Carl and his team do, is test peripherals. So if a third-party vendor releases a new headset and we think it's going to be popular, we think that your organizations are going to use it, whenever we know that something is a must for an enterprise, or it's something that is used in an enterprise environment, what we do is we buy a bunch of those, and we test it, and we make sure that it works great with Surface, and we make sure that if it doesn't work great with Surface, we do one of two things. The very first approach is try to go to those microcontrollers, release new firmware, and make sure that that firmware reprograms those microcontrollers to make it work, to make it great. And if by any reason we cannot make it work, well, we document it. I'm being completely honest. There are some things that the more we try, it just doesn't work. And in those situations, we have that for monitors, right? There's some third-party monitors that don't work well with our devices. Well, we put it on a public website, and we say, our device works great with these monitors. Our device doesn't work with those monitors. So That's what we do. We try to be front and center about what does work, what doesn't work, what are our findings, and what we can do about it. All you need to get all of this goodness, all you need to do to get all of these new features, all of those additional components, all of those improvements, is really to install our updates. And trust me, we don't put updates just for the kicks and giggles. We don't like putting out updates. And we know that it's a lot of effort to all of you guys to deploy those updates. But when we do, when we put out those updates, is because we think we are very, very certain that it's something that you guys will like, that it's something that will really, really benefit your organizations, that it's something that will benefit the performance, that will make your devices come to a new life. How do you install those updates? We made it extremely easy. So for instance, firmware updates, we made them look just like drivers. So there's two screenshots there, and those screenshots show you, the very first one, the screenshot on the left there, it shows you what a firmware update looks like. You guys may be familiar with it, or it may look familiar to you, because it looks exactly like a driver. You install it like if you were installing a driver. We use a new technology called capsules. And we deploy a capsule, and the capsule essentially stages that firmware, so it installs a driver-side component in Windows. And then when your device reboots, it grabs that component and it flashes your firmware, it flashes your microcontroller to give it new functionality, to give it new roles. This is how we deploy firmware updates. It's super easy. It looks exactly like a driver. And it comes from the same places that a driver comes from. So if you use Windows Update, it's there. If you use WSUS, it's there. if you want to deploy firmware just like you deploy an application. So if you're used to deploying applications in your organization, but you don't ever deploy firmware, you don't ever deploy drivers, we give you an MSI just for that. We give you a cumulative update. We give you something that you go on our website, you download the latest MSI for Surface Pro 4, Surface Pro 3, Surface 3, whatever. You download the latest MSI and you push it like just like you would push an application. That MSI installs and you can have a device right out of the box that has never been updated for 2 years. And still, it gets all the latest firmware, it gets all the latest drivers, it gets everything, and it's completely up to date after you run that MSI. You just deploy it like an application. We also provide you with a zip file. So it's quite easy, if you think about it, it's quite easy to go to an MSI and extract the contents. You can just open up an MSI or extract an MSI to a specific folder. But if you want, we provide you a zip file. And that zip file, you can extract it to a location, you can extract it to a folder on your disk, and you can use System Center Configuration Manager to create the driver package. You can just grab that zip file and create the driver package and ship it to your Surface devices. So we give you plenty of options. We give you plenty of options for downloading this. And of course, you have all the in-between technologies, like Windows Update for Business, right? Windows Update for Business works great for this. So the screenshot that you see on your right is the contents of that zip file. You immediately get two folders. One of the folders is all about drivers. And the other folder, inside of it, all the components look exactly like drivers, but they're not really drivers. They're firmware. And what firmware looks like is exactly what you see on your left. It's super, super easy, and it gives you a whole new set of technologies, a whole new set of capabilities to your device. Your device today, your Surface Pro 3 today, doesn't look anything like your Surface Pro 3 from 2 years ago. Your Surface Pro 4 today doesn't look anything like the Surface Pro 4 that you bought 6 months ago. All of these devices get a new life. They get new capabilities. They get new technologies. They get performance improvements. They get reliability improvements. So something that we're extremely proud of, and this is just geeking out, is the Surface UEFI. In the past, we've used a UEFI that we've licensed from a third party. So Surface Pro 4, Surface Pro 3, Surface Pro, Surface 3, and previous devices, they use a UEFI that was made by AMI. That's a very, very well-known vendor and manufacturer of UEFI and BIOS systems, right? UEFI is the new BIOS, essentially. BIOS is the basic input-output, and UEFI is the new version because it's extensible firmware interface. So you get additional components. You can run additional code. You can run additional security tools even before you get to Windows. So now what we've done is for Pro 4 and Surface Book, we've created our own UEFI. So the Surface team has hired the most talented engineers that we could find, and we have them develop this just for us, just for our devices. So it's not something that we're licensing to third parties. This is not something that any Windows device can run. This is something made by us to be run by us, by Surface. So what you get with the new Surface UEFI is that it unleashes the best Surface performance. We don't run any unnecessary code. We don't need to support third-party devices. We know exactly what hardware is available and what hardware we need to run and we need to support. And for that reason, we have the best possible performance on our devices, even when we're booting, even when we are in the UEFI. It also contains all the latest security features. Like, our entire team is committed to bringing in all the latest technologies, all the latest security components directly to our firmware, directly to our UEFI, so that whenever your device boots, it's already protected. it's not vulnerable to any malware. It's not vulnerable to any additional components or to any additional trouble that may arise. That's not meaning that you shouldn't run an antivirus in Windows. That's not meaning that you're always protected when you're in Windows. We're just saying that when you're booting your device, you must know that we are doing all the best efforts and we're putting a lot of engineering time and manpower into making sure that this works and that this is as secure as it gets. Also, it enables faster development of new features. We're going to talk to you about Surface Enterprise Management Mode. That is a feature that allows you to configure everything that is inside of Surface UEFI. It allows you to configure all of that from either a GUI or PowerShell in another device. So remotely, you can go into your UEFI and you can set whatever settings you like. You can do all that remotely. Remember when I told you that you can turn off cameras? There's a screenshot of that there on the right. You can do that remotely as well. And then, of course, it supports state-of-the-art hardware. We were talking about the brand new hard disks and the brand new SSDs using NVMe, so PCIe bus, super, super fast. We were talking about that. And we do support that in our own UEFI because we have built it from the ground up and we keep in there all the components, all the support of the things that we want to ship in our products. So, continuing, if the clicker lets me. Thank you, Carl. So let's go directly into Surface Enterprise Management Mode, and you'll see the UEFI in here as well. So Surface Enterprise Management Mode is available for Pro 4 and Surface Book. And what it does is it creates an MSI package. Once again, when we did that quick poll, I realized that most of you guys know how to deploy an MSI package, so that's what we get. So it requires Windows 10 to run the UEFI Configurator tool. And that's the tool that allows you to set the configurator that you want to push or set the configuration that you want to push to all of your devices. The device where you run the UEFI configurator, it doesn't even need to be a Surface. It's whatever admin machine, client or server, that you want to run this on and that you want to create your configuration that then you push to all of your devices. What we do use is whenever you want to remotely change the settings of a device, you use a certificate. You take ownership of that device through a certificate. So you grab a certificate from your organization in the PFX format, you grab that certificate, you sign the package, and then if you don't yet have a certificate in your UEFI, that certificate goes in there. If you already have a certificate, we will compare the certificates and make sure that it's the same certificate and that you're allowed to change your configuration to manage your UEFI. So Carl will make a bunch of demos. And he'll talk about how to enroll a device. He will talk about how to unenroll a device out of SAM. And he'll show you a bunch of configurations for this.
Supposedly. Okay, so I have the Surface UEFI configurator tool installed on my machine already. This does not require a Surface. It just requires a Windows 10 device so that if you want to create packages, it's not required to have a Surface to install the tool on to create packages. Obviously, you need a Surface to run the package, of course, but we'll start here, okay? The tool itself is not all that complicated. I'm going to zoom it here a little bit. So you see that you have the options to create a configuration package, a reset package, or a recovery request. And we'll get into all of these. But for right now, we're going to create a configuration package. So let me do that. And what's first going to ask you, and I apologize, it's a little jerky here, but what it's first going to ask you here is, okay, great. We're going to create a package. The very first thing you need is a certificate. Without a certificate, this is full stop. We don't continue. You have to have a certificate to take ownership of the device And the reason for that, of course, as Joel mentioned previously, is that we use the certificate to validate that the package and the settings that you're sending to the device is by the same organization that owns the device. And the only way, obviously, we can know that when we're talking about the UEFI is we're not in Windows, right? So I can't go to your AD. I can't go figure out, are you on a network? I can't do any of that. So the secure way to do that, again, we try to develop things that are secure by default. The secure way to do that is with a certificate. And you need a PKCS. I believe it's number 12 we're using. But you need a PKCS certificate, which means you have the certificate and you also have the private key. That means that you own the certificate. That's about the only way we know of to be able to tell that you own the certificate from a UEFI level. So the tool is going to take a certificate. So we'll hit certificate protection. And we will install the USB key here that has it, because those are required. And let me pull that up. There we go.
So again, you can use a self-signed certificate. You can use a certificate that you get online that you purchase for your organization. Or if your organization already has certificates, if your organization already has a PKI infrastructure, you can grab it directly from there.
Correct.
So all we say is you need to use a certificate. We don't tell you that there is a specific type of certificate that you need to use, or that that certificate must be trusted by whatever sources. What we do is we say you need to use a PKS certificate. Yep.
So again, one of the other things that is a sort of a Microsoft recommended practice, I don't want to call it best practice, but one of the things we do recommend for any device, not just a Surface, is to have a password on the device itself for an additional security. So I'm going to set a password here on the UEFI.
It does not eliminate the need for a certificate. Certificates are mandatory. Here, this technology doesn't work without the certificates. The UEFI password, it's just in case you want to prevent your users from going into the UEFI and changing any settings.
Correct.
That you haven't configured through the configurator.
Yep.
Any setting that you configure here will be grayed out, and it will not be available for the user to override in the UEFI menu.
Correct. So again, I'm going to set the most very secure password of 123456. Let me validate that I can type
super
characters.
Secure.
Yep. Very safe. Very safe. I'm going to hit OK. So now you'll see that they're both checked. We're ready to go. We have a package that's going to contain both of these things. Next, OK, which device do you want to target? Do you want to target just Surface Pro 4? Do you want to target just Surface Book? Or are you going to do what most customers do already, and we're going to target both types of devices? We have the ability to do that. There's no real limitation or change depending on what you want to do. But we do give you the option to say, you know what, I only want to create this, for example, for a Pro 4. I don't want it to actually apply to a book because I'm going to create a different package, for example, for a Surface Book. But I'm going to choose both here just so that you can see that it works.
If you're setting a security setting that doesn't apply to that device, so for instance, if you're looking at this right now, you'll see that there's a component there that says type cover. So some users, they want to use kiosks or devices in kiosk, in a kiosk environment, and they want to disable access to the keyboard. They want to make sure that the user cannot connect the keyboard and use it. So if you're doing that, of course, that setting does not apply to Surface Book. So since Surface Book does not have a type cover. So if it doesn't apply, whenever you deploy that MSI with those settings, it will simply skip the configuration that does not apply to that device.
And you'll notice that when I choose, okay, I'm just going to apply this to the Pro 4, that's there. If I choose, oh, I'm just going to apply this to Book, let me see if I can get that to click, there we go, and I hit Next, you'll notice that the options changed. So what that means is if I choose an option in a package that's only applicable to, for example, the Pro 4, when I go to apply that package to the Book, the UEFI on Book is going to see that configuration and go, yeah, that's fine, and ignore it completely because it doesn't apply. So that's the reason that it's there, is because if you are targeting a specific device, we can show you just the options that are available on that device. If I choose both, I'm going to get options that are available on both Pro 4 and Book in one screen. It's not a problem for the configuration package, but be aware that when I turn off the type cover here, for example, which I'm not going to do, but if I were to do that, it's not going to turn off the keyboard on Book, because the keyboard on Book is not a type cover. It's an actual keyboard.
And you can toggle individual components, or you can toggle like the main components. So for instance, cameras, you see that there's an on-off switch over there. So you can turn off all cameras if you want, or you can choose to toggle individual cameras. And remember, this is toggled at the firmware level. So to Windows, whenever you run Windows, or if you install Linux, or if you run any operating system on your device, the operating system will not see that component. If you toggle off the cameras, what is going to happen is that the operating system will think that there is no physical hardware present.
Correct. Now, if you look at the next screen, you'll see that we have an option for the Trusted Platform module. I wouldn't recommend you turn that off, but if there's a requirement to do so, we have provided that capability. You'll see that there are some boot options here, including something called boot order lock. If you came to the theater yesterday, you heard my warning, but I will warn you again. If you turn the boot order lock on, you cannot change the bootloader. You cannot change the boot order. We lock that out. And why is that a problem? Well, in general, for usability, it's fine. But if you ever wanted to reload that operating system or maybe recover it, when you lock that boot order, you aren't doing that. You'd have to unlock it first. So just be aware that there is an option there that could maybe make it so that you cannot service a device temporarily until you are able to turn that back off. But I'm going to leave everything here. You'll also notice that we include an option for, hey, do you not want to see pages in the default UEFI? Do you want to turn off so that people cannot see the security page or the devices page? So you've made a configuration change, and I want to make sure that we're clear. If you don't know the UEFI password, you can still get into the UEFI and see some things. For example, the firmware types, the serial number, the asset tag, what have you. But you can see settings. You can't touch them or change them, but you can see them. And the reason we allow you to do that is in case somebody wants to, hey, your help desk needs to know something about that machine, for example. The user doesn't know the password and you're not going to tell them, but it's much easier to say, okay, well, just hit escape when you get asked for the password and you can still see some things. So if you wanted to hide that, we give you the opportunity to do that. I wanted to make sure that that was clear. And then you have this build button here, and this build button is actually going to build an MSI package. It's going to use your certificate to sign the settings that we put into the MSI, but it's also going to be used to sign the MSI itself. So I'm going to hit build, and as long as there are no demo gremlins, this will work. I'm going to put this on the desktop, and I'm just going to call it Ignite Demo.msi. Okay, great, everything's a success, that's good. Now you'll notice it says successful, you've created a UEFI configuration package, blah, blah, blah. If this is the first package you apply, you need to provide the last two characters of the certificate thumbprint. How many of you have seen this already where you get asked to put in the last two characters when you take ownership of a device with SIM? I don't know how many people have used this. This has actually been out for a little bit. But you're going to get a prompt. The very first time you take ownership with a certificate, you're going to get a prompt. And we have already heard feedback of, we don't want to see this prompt. And I'll explain to you in a minute why you have to see this prompt. But you're going to get a prompt that's going to say, somebody has to type this in before I can take ownership. So that in this case, the last two characters are 83. So I'm going to hit end here. And I'm going to
break. So these are really the last two characters of the certificate thumbprint, of the certificate that you used when you were creating the package. And so, we really force you to type in those two last digits for a very specific reason. We don't want you to target accidentally personal user devices, for instance. If you go to your organization and you deploy an MSI configuration package to all of your devices, we don't want you to accidentally target devices that are from the end user that don't belong to your organization.
We also don't want a malicious actor to take ownership of your devices silently.
That is correct.
And so, that is actually the actual reason why we require you the very first time you take ownership with a certificate. There is, as far as we can tell, and we went over this with a fine-tooth comb many times, there is no other way to protect your device from this particular attack.
That's right. We would prefer to give you the option of doing zero touch.
I was the first one to complain about that particular dialog box.
Yes,
you were. But when we went through the security review, there is no other way.
And really pretty isn't. Loud.
Your device would be less secure if we did not do this. But I'm going to continue because we're running a little short on time.
And it's not only your device. It's and like all of your friends' devices, right? Whenever you have a personal device, if it would accidentally get one of these configuration packages, you may lock down a device completely, right? You can disable Wi-Fi. You can disable the USB ports. Yep. And we don't want that to happen.
So you'll notice I ran the MSI package that was created, and I got this prompt. And it said, why can I not run an MSI package? It's supposed to, setup's supposed to have elevation. I should have gotten a UAC prompt. Why did I get a prompt that says, no, please run this from the command line. Please run this command. And the reason for that is there are some security limitations with the MSI engine. We are doing something a little bit above and beyond what it usually does. We are writing to firmware. We are writing to NVRAM so that the firmware will have settings. The service that runs the MSI engine does not have this permission. Users can be granted this permission, but by default, system, trusted installer, MSI, what have you, they do not have this right, okay? So you're going to have to run it if you're going to use the MSI and not the PowerShell when you create an MSI, and most tools do this already, but when you have an MSI, you're going to have to run it msi exec/i, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so I'm going to do that. I'm going to get out of the Zoom just so I can do that. And I'm going to create the prompt. Switch to my desktop.
This is something that you can run from a regular command line, obviously. Carl is just using the PowerShell prompt.
I don't like the command prompt. I probably shouldn't say that too loud. But you'll notice if I run this just like this, msi exec/i, ignite demo MSI, I'm going to get the user interface, and I'm not going to get that prompt. And the reason is because this MSI is now running under me, right, my account or the local admin account or whatever account you're running it as, which has the SE set in system information right that the MSI itself is missing, I don't get that prompt. Hey, you need to run this with that command line. I now have the privilege because I'm a child of the command prompt. I can execute it. Everything's good. I'm just going to run through here. Obviously, it works silently as well. And all you have to do is pass /quiet or /q. That does work. I'm just running through this with the UI for the demo. I'm going to hit finish. And it's going to say, you need to restart for changes to take effect. And for very obvious reason, because I am writing to the NVRAM. Now, one thing is I don't have a DisplayPort stack in the UFI, so I'm going to have to show you this as Joao's doctor hands here. We'll see how steady his hands are. But I'm going to reboot this device. And let's hope it doesn't take too long.
So now the device is restarting. It's passing all of those configurations that Carl set. Yep. It's passing all of those to the UEFI. So when we reboot, and you'll see the UEFI, that we talked about and that we know that looks exactly like Windows 10. It has the Windows 10 look and feel. You'll see that the device will have those configurations.
And here it boots, and you're going to see the prompt. This is the prompt I was talking about that we have already gotten some feedback on. We don't want to see this. But the reality is, if you don't see this, someone now owns your device. They've configured it. Now, subsequent package, if I want to change settings, as long as I use that same certificate in the future, obviously I'm not going to see this prompt because we already trust that certificate, it will be installed. But what I'm doing right now is installing this certificate.
So this is a one-time thing to take ownership?
And you'll see that it's actually going to reboot again because it's just set those settings, you've just taken ownership, and now I'm going to reboot again. And if I go into the UEFI, well, too fast. Our devices boot too fast, Joao. We need to make it slower. There we go.
We'll tell PLE to do that.
We'll tell PLE to slow it down. All right. That's what everybody wants, right? They want their devices to boot slower. Okay. Good. Glad. See? Enter the system password. I remember I set that password. I just tried to go into the UEFI. Hey, the password was set. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Please don't tell anybody that's my password. Is this recorded?
Super secret.
Uh-oh. All right. So, here we go. You'll notice, and for those of you who have seen the UEFI before, there is now an enterprise management setting here. And this is a good UEFI cert, no password. It's very safe. But you'll notice this is the certificate that was used to own the device. And there's that thumbprint right there, 8-3. You're not a good doctor.
No surgeon, hence.
But here's so the PC information is still here. We go to security, you'll see, hey, some settings are managed by your organization. The UEFI password is grayed out because you now own that. Secure boot is locked because my configuration password owns that. There's the TPM slider that you saw. If I go to devices, you're gonna see all those other device sliders that are applicable to a Pro 4. These are all on because that's the way I configured it in my package and they're all locked out. My boot configuration. You'll notice I didn't enable the boot lock. I told you not to do that. I didn't enable the boot lock or the boot order lock. You'll notice that this is still available. I can still touch it and play with it, but all of those other options that I configured are set the way I set them and they're locked out. And we'll go into that a little bit
more.
By the
way, I need to show you this. I love that the fact that here in UEFI, you can just swipe any specific configuration and you can say, let's boot from this device immediately. I just love this little thing.
And that's a swipe from your right. I'm really bad at backwards.
Right to left.
To left.
You can just swipe on the USB or swipe on the network and it says, do you want to boot from this thing immediately? I think it's just pretty cool.
Okay, so I have configured this device. I'm going to not do that. I'm going to reboot. And there are event log entries that get logged. There's actually a scheduled task that gets set when you install the package, when you use the MSI. And there's an event log that gets entered into the system that basically says, yep, I just applied a UEFI package. And I will show you that once I get logged in. Go ahead and connect it back.
Please. Okay. Let's move back to your device.
Yep. We are plugging back in here. So that is how easy it is to take ownership of the UEFI. It isn't exactly seamless for security reasons, but it is simple. Now, there are some limitations with the MSI package. If you try to deploy that MSI package from a tool, like let's call it System Center Configuration Manager, it will not work. And the reason it does not work is if you remember, I mentioned there was a little security issue, and by that I mean a missing write because we don't want random things touching the UEFI. The MSI server process does not have the right to write to firmware. It can read, but it cannot write. When you use pretty much every deployment tool outside of MDT and a few other smaller third-party ones, they will not work. They will not be able to apply that package. And the reason is they'll run as system, or they'll run as an admin user that's being called from a service, and the write will be missing. Please do not give MSI server that write. I'm not going to even tell you what that write is. I mentioned it once about 5 minutes ago, and I'm not going to repeat it for that reason, because I don't want anybody accidentally doing it just to see what happens, and then, well, the guy from Microsoft said I could do this, and now your device is owned? Yeah, don't do that, okay? But that's the reason. So there are some reasons why we've been working on this PowerShell interface. And one of them is, of course, enterprise management, right? Doing things remotely or what have you, but also enterprise tools.
So we've heard loud and clear. For Surface Pro 3 and Surface 3, we have a way of managing the UEFI settings through PowerShell. So all we do is put a little assembly in your GAC. So we put a little .NET assembly that allows you to communicate with the UEFI. We've done that on Surface Pro 3. We've done it on Surface 3. And you could use PowerShell to manage any of those devices. The interesting thing is that when we moved to Surface Pro 4 and Surface Book, we thought there's a lot of feedback. There's a lot of people that want to use this and are not very proficient with PowerShell. So let's move it to a GUI, let's move it to a UI, let's move it to something that is familiar and that people can just deploy an MSI and get it going. So now, when we are in Surface Pro 4 and Surface Book, we have that UI that Carl just demoed, but we also have PowerShell now. So, and this is brand new. You've never seen this before. You've never seen this prior to
yet.
Ignite. This is not available yet for download. We'll make it available really, really soon, but this is something that we've been working on. We've been working on making it possible for you guys, for those ID pros that really like PowerShell, to be able to use PowerShell to manage all of these settings, to query the UEFI components, to see the current state, to see if it's locked down, and to apply additional lockdown configurations.
All right.
Are we going with for the PowerShell demo?
Well, I have to. One of the things I actually have to do, because I have taken ownership of this device, I'm actually going to have to reset it.
Okay.
So I want to do the reset demo so that you can see what it looks like.
We want to demo this anyway.
Yeah, so I'm going to create a recovery package.
So let me go back to the camera and show you what the reset package looks like. And the reset package is something that Carl showed you before in a glance. The interesting thing is that the reset package is what enables you to get out of SAM. So you can use either a reset package that is targeted to this device, so you run an MSI that is meant at removing the SAM out of your device, and SAM means Surface Enterprise Management Mode, or instead of using that reset package, you can go with a different alternative that is to do a recovery. The recovery is usually used when you're in trouble, when you're in the UEFI screen, and you cannot boot to an OS, you cannot go to your Windows operating system and deploy an MSI package.
So one of the things you're going to need when you create a reset or a recovery package is what I just took a screenshot of there. That's the serial number right here, 014785 blah, 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 blah. That is a serial number. A reset or a recovery package, there are two ways to recover yourself or get yourself out of SEM. You need that serial number, and the reason you need that is those packages, by default, are targeted at a device. They are targeted at a very specific device. You cannot create with the MSI a package that allows you to go ahead and target just any device in your environment. We don't allow that by default. That is something you can do with the PowerShell. It is not something you can do with the MSI, but I'm going to go through and create a recovery package for that device. So yes, I want to run this utility. I'm going to hit start.
So again,
I want to reset the device.
This is what you would do if you wanted to get your device out of this specific management mode. So this is a scenario, for instance, if you take your device into a factory and the factory requires cameras to be disabled, you can apply a package that disables the cameras on your devices. And then when you're out of that factory, they can give you a package that gets you out of that state, that re-enables the cameras and that stops the device from being managed. This is something very, very typical in factory environments and some governmental organizations.
So I've created this package, if you were watching while Joao was doing, I just put in the serial number and hit build, and it built the package. I'm going to hit install. Hey, I need to run it from that command prompt. And of course, the reason is I need the security to do so. So I'm going to do it real quick here. And once this is done, I will start showing you the PowerShell. And one of the reasons I'm not spending too much time on that is there needs to be some documentation written, but I want to show it to you. So I'm going to run msi exec slash i ignite reset, and I'm going to do this quietly. And it rebooted my device because I told it quiet. I don't want to see a UI, and I didn't tell it not to reboot. So now I'm rebooting. And if you bring the camera over, we will see my device reboot. Eventually. It's a little slow.
You have steadier hands than I do.
I do. When this reboots, you're going to see the Surface logo flash and then go away, because again, the settings are being set. And then it's going to reboot again. So you saw the Surface logo pop up and then it disappeared. And what it did was is it said, I have a settings package I need to apply. There we go. That settings package is applied. And you'll notice I didn't get asked for a password, because the password was part of the package. So when I reset the device, I reset it back to the default. You'll notice the enterprise configuration menu is gone, and you'll notice that everything is back and available. So I'm going to reboot this device. Now, the question that I'm going to get asked is, what happens if the UEFI password exists before I configure the device? What happens when I run a reset package? The reset package is only going to reset what SEM set. So if SEM did not set the password, it won't reset the password. You can change it if you create a package with the password in it, and if you reset the password back, it will be empty. It will not magically go back to the password that was set before, but that is a question we get all the time. If I've set a password already, how do I get it to reset the password? You know, the answer is you don't. What happens if I forgot the password? The same thing that would happen if you forgot the password on any other device. It wouldn't work. And so that's configuring and resetting the device. I know we're a little over time, but I want to show you guys the PowerShell at some point here real quickly when my device finishes booting. I guess it's good that that's the only demo gremlin I'm having at the moment.
Right. So for the PowerShell demo, what Carl is going to show you is we have different PowerShell scripts. They are very, very thoroughly documented. So you can open those PowerShell scripts and you can see what each configuration does. What Carl is going to show you is the part of the configuration where you can enumerate and you can see all the configurations that you can set and all the configurations that are available in UEFI. And I do realize that there is a question in the back.
Yes. It is not. It is not.
That is correct. So let me repeat the question for the recording. The question was, we can create a reset package, and the reset package needs to be targeted to a specific device by using the serial number. And the question was, how enterprise friendly is that? So that's targeted at a very specific scenario. If we go back to the scenario that I initially mentioned, you have a factory, you want to block something, you want to block the cameras on one device, and then when the user leaves, you want to give a package to that user so that he can get it back to the original state. In that case, you don't want to create a package that is applicable to other devices in the organization. What we do have is with PowerShell, you can create a universal recovery package. You don't need to specify a serial number, and you create a package that you store together with your certs, maybe, and what you do is you can use that package to reset any device in your organization.
Correct. We create a universal reset. So I'm just going to go over this. I want to show you that this is heavily documented from a comment perspective. However, there will be hopefully some documentation on this release that coincides with it. But basically the PowerShell script is going to do the same thing that the MSI did, but the difference is, and the thing that makes it a little more enterprise friendly, is you have the ability to set the security or permissions. So remember we showed you those options were basically grayed out when you configure them with the MSI. The PowerShell allows you to not only set settings, but also set permissions on those settings. So if I want to set a setting, but I still want to make it available to the user, you can do that with PowerShell, where it will configure the setting, but it will also leave it blue, basically. The user can still change it. And so you'll see that I'm setting permission flags here. For example, I'm going to set the TPM, and I'm going to make it so that the owner and local user can touch that. And I'm also going to change the state, for example, of the front and rear cameras. We have a script, and I'll show you this list of scripts here. I'm not going to go over them all, because this will be documentation. But if you're ever curious about what settings, we will be shipping a script that basically says, run this on a Surface, and it will give you a list of all of the settings that you can configure and all of the permissions that it takes. So that when we're going to be releasing these as templates. You can take them and configure them as you like. If you're familiar with PowerShell and you're familiar with .NET, you will understand how this works. If not, hopefully the documentation will explain it to you with enough that you will understand. That's way more than I can go into in an hour and a half session, but I want to show you that this is what I'm going to do with this script, is that I am going to set the, allow the local user to change the password, so I'm going to not set a password, but I'm also not going to gray that box out, so the user can change their password. I'm also going to leave the TPM available, and I'm going to leave the cameras available, but I'm going to gray everything else out. I'm going to lock every other setting, And then I'm also going to come down here, and I am going to configure, well, let me get a little further down, sorry, it's a little twitchy here. I'm going to configure some settings here with, for example, I'm going to disable the IPv6 for Pixie Boot, and then I'm going to restart the device. So I'm going to run this script, and it will do the same thing that the MSI did, but I need that. You'll notice that I have my PFX file here in the folder with my script, and I probably should rename it so that it's not a text file. Otherwise, it isn't going to work. There we go. Am I sure I want to change it? Yes, that's why I went through the procedure of changing it. So I'm going to configure SEM. Hopefully. There it is.
So again, we're targeting different audiences. We're targeting some people would prefer to use the GUI. It's much simpler. It's very easy to use, and it's pretty much a no-brainer. Like, you can take ownership of your devices very, very easily using the GUI. Some other people want to have fine-grained detail and capabilities, and those people are probably the people that will want to use the PowerShell components that we are about to ship.
You'll notice this script gives me the thumbprint because I need those last two characters. I will also show you what happened when I ran it. Well, it helps if I open the right folder. Sorry about that. There is a config folder here. Someone was asking about how enterprise ready is that. You see this right here? There is your universal reset package. The PowerShell can call that and apply it to a device. The UI cannot because it has a limitation. The PowerShell can do so. But I've configured this device, so I'm going to reboot it.
And I think this will be the end of our
You've
demo.
Seen the configuration. So I'm not showing you anything you haven't seen before. But again, the difference is the PowerShell gives you, one, more options. Two, it gives you the ability to use any enterprise management tool that can consume PowerShell. And you have the ability to do basically whatever you'd like with it. We will ship those scripts, and we will provide the documentation for such when they release to the web. But those are examples. You can, if you want to change them, if you want to write your own, if you want to do it however you'd like to do it, we are giving you that capability. Yes, the plan is to make this available.
The comment was to make this available in PowerShell Gallery.
Yes. That is correct. Yes.
That's right.
Yep.
So thank you very much, everyone. You have the link for the evaluations. We ended up not having much time for Q&A. If you guys have any questions, join us here at the podium.
I will be down in the Windows 10 or Windows devices on the expo all day today.
That's right. We will both be at the expo hall. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you for sticking around. We appreciate it.